Okay, if I can have everyone's attention in the media center. We're now joined on stage by Las Vegas Motor Speedway track president Chris Powell and his wife Missy. As many of you know, after 26 plus years, today is Chris's final race as the president of Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And Chris, has it set in that this is the last one?
The only one who's crying is Missy. She tears up over the last few days about every other hour. And y'all don't know Missy, but she's performed in a very important role for 26 years. Mr. Smith's suite, whether it's Bruton or Marcus, she's always been running the suite, overseeing, making people happy, and has done an outstanding job. And so I had to pull her out of the suite this morning and bring her down here because I didn't want her to miss this. And she's been as important to me in what we do here at this Speedway and has always kept me grounded. Because once I got this job, and I'm sure she thought, well, Chris is going to get the big head running the Speedway, but every day I'd come home and she'd say, you're still the same old guy from Ahoskie, North Carolina, right?
That's right.
So it really hadn't set in because we've been so busy getting ready for this weekend. But I want to sort of thank each one of you. And I can't name people, everybody by name, but, you know, my weekends were filled back in my previous job at RJR in Winston with being in the media center. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I love the media. I used to be a member of the media, journalism major from North Carolina. And I've been very fortunate to hang out with a lot of you guys over the years. And I understand what you have to do. And the times that we've been criticized at times over the years, we've deserved it for the most part, except for one guy. I'm so appreciative. And I really want to thank, and I will single one person out, Ron Kantowski, the retired Review Journal writer who did a piece on me several days ago. And it's not easy to make me look good, but even Ron made me feel very proud. And so thank you, Ron. I'm forever indebted to you. So thank you.
Have you had a moment to think about highs and lows over these last 26 years?
Well, there have been a lot of highs. There was one big low when we put a sprinkler system on the dirt track, and Ted Johnson from the World of Outlaws told me what a fool I was, but he didn't say fool. He used some choice words. He didn't say fool, but we had to cancel a World of Outlaws event one night, and I had to stand out there in front of about 500 unruly fans who were upset that that it hadn't rained in Las Vegas in a month, and yet we had a dirt track that was mud, and we weren't able to race on it. So that was the low point, but there have been a lot of high points. But, you know, I've been so fortunate to work with so many good people. Jeff here, you guys see Jeff, and I think is Jose in here?
Yeah, Jose. His family's in it. Josie's in the back. His family
y'all,
is in
y'all see the PR well. Guys, but you don't see the other, I don't know how many dozen employees we have, but they've been the ones who've done the hard work. And it's been so gratifying to be a part of their team because they give so tirelessly of their time. And I know maybe some of you think, you know, Speedway, you got a NASCAR race and an NHRA race in the fall, and then you do it again, or in the spring, then you do it again in the fall. But in actuality, we put on about somewhere between 3,500 and 4,000 event days a year here in Las Vegas. We got great weather, got a great facility that Mr. Smith put together, and so we've just been very fortunate to have so many hardworking employees, and I'm so indebted to them. And the race fans have, you know, they write you. I can't tell you how many emails we get in the wake of a NASCAR weekend, and they will let you know their feelings, good, bad, or indifferent. And usually, if they take the time to write, they're not writing to congratulate you on a great weekend. They got either stuck in traffic or a bathroom wasn't clean or they got put in the wrong place in the RV lots. But I don't blame them. They're spending their hard-earned money, but they're the ones that we all really are working for. And I think a lot about, at a time like this, Bruton Smith, who took a chance on a PR guy back in North Carolina who had never, ever run a Speedway, didn't know anything about running a Speedway. I'd been to a lot of races, just like you guys have. I didn't know anything about running a Speedway, though. And he took a risk on me, and mainly at the recommendation of Jeff Byrd, the late Jeff Byrd, who used to run Bristol Motor Speedway, with whom I worked at R.J. Reynolds, and Jeff recommended me, and I'll be forever grateful to him and to Bruton for taking the chance. And also, some of you in this room might remember T. Wayne Robertson. I was fortunate enough to work for T. Wayne at Winston, and he taught all of us a lot about operational and taking care of the race fan and how important the race fan was. You know, it was easy when I was working in this sport years ago to think about how important the drivers were and what they did on the racetrack, and obviously we wouldn't be here without them. But without the race fans, we've got absolutely nothing. None of us would be in this room right now without the strength of the NASCAR fan. And so, embedded to every fan who has ever spent a nickel to go to a speedway. Obviously my parents are both deceased, but I was very fortunate to have good parents and growing up in a small northeastern North Carolina town. And then I've got a family that has meant the world to me. We've got some of our kids and grandkids are here, not all of them, but they're along this wall, and I've just had so much support over these 26 years for my family. But I do want to tell you one good Bruton Smith story. And I'll tell you another one if you ever want to hear it. But I was telling this one the other day that, you know, you think about Bruton, billionaire, and was willing to make million and 2 million and more dollar decisions at the snap of a finger. But we were driving one day. I'd had this job about 6 months. We're driving around the property, and he was asking me, what's this, and what's going on over here, and why this, and why that. And we're on the Midway area, and he hears a hum, and he said, stop, stop, stop. So I stopped, and there was this fenced-off area, and it had a little gate, and he got out of the car, and he went and opened the gate, and he walked into this fenced-off area, and there was this lever on the side of the pole. And he pulled it down, just like Bruton had strong hands and arms. And as soon as he pulled it down, the hum stopped. So I got back in the car. He said, all right, let's go. I said, Bruton, I don't know what you just shut off. You might have turned off the electricity of the whole property. And we had some track rental business going on at the time. We didn't have this nice media center that he built yet, but we had a nice one. I said, you might have just shut off the electricity to the entire property. And he said, well, if I did, then we'll find out about it. And if I didn't, I just saved you some money. So we drove around, ended up back in my office, sat there and talked for about 30 minutes. He talked to me about taking care of the race fan. That's what he was always so intent upon doing. And by and by, he said, well, I'm going to head back to the hotel. I said, okay, Bruton, thank you for coming out, and I'll see you tonight at dinner. So he walked out of my office, and he was gone about, I don't know, a minute or two. And then he came back. He stuck his head in my office. He said, hey, boy. I said, yes, sir. He said, think I saved you some money today. But he, you know, Bruton was just such a piece of work. And now, and had such a vision for this sport. And it's because of Bruton that we're in a nice building like this. And all his facilities are A, number one. There are no better motorsports facilities in the world than what Bruton has put together. And now Marcus, I just give him so much credit that, you know, he could have taken over when Bruton phased out as he got older, and Marcus could have just let things go the way they were going, which was very successful. This company was at the time on the stock market, incredibly successful. And all he had to do was just take over and just let all us general managers do what we had been doing for all those years. But Marcus has got visions, and he's got some risk-taking in him, and that's why we're racing again at North Wilkesboro. That's why we've got a Roval at Charlotte. That's why we went to Austin, Texas. So Marcus is not going to sit back and rest on his father's laurels. He's got his own vision. But it's been a great company to work for, and I'll be forever grateful. And if anybody wanted to ask any questions, I can't imagine you want to. But, Jerry, if you want to, knock yourself out.
And raise your hand so we can bring a microphone to you as well.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking the Tires, .net. Congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you.
Or whatever you're going to do. But the transition through the years, you know, of what this, when you first came here to what you see now, and the transformation of the racing and race fans, you just look back at that and kind of talk about the what it what it means to you to go out like this. And I mean, obviously you're taking, he's leaving too, you know, Motley's leaving.
Yep.
It's an era that's kind of gonna go away from Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Well, we've got a new man that's already been named, Patrick Lindsay, who's been running the Patrick's in here. He's been running the PGA Tour event, the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open here in Las Vegas for 8 or 10 years, and great personality, smart. I'm so excited for Patrick and the future of this speedway. So it's only going to get better and better, Jerry. But, you know, it's just been so much fun. I mean, when you're in the business of having so many guests come to your facility over the course of a year, and we don't bat 1,000. We don't make everybody 100% happy all the time. But I think the people who do come here know that we are trying to do that. And, you know, we've had some challenges over the years. I'll never forget my first day on the job here. They told me the good news and bad news. The good news is we're almost sold out and will be sold out in about a week. The bad news is the ticket system just crashed, and we're going to have to reseat all 140,000 people that were coming to the race. And bedlam ensued. It was a high pressure time, because, you know, the people who built this speedway and owned it and ran it for the first year obviously did very well with it. And now our company takes over and the ticket system crashed, so they thought we didn't know what we were doing. So we had so many challenges up front, but because of the hard work of employees here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, I'm leaving it. I couldn't help but leave it in better hands than what I found, because it was just, Richie Klein said it best. You know, we made the, Richie, if you don't know, was instrumental in having this speedway built. He convinced his ex-father-in-law, Ralph Engelstad, and Ralph's great friend, Bill Bennett, who owned the Sahara, Engelstad owned the Imperial Palace. He convinced them to fund building this speedway. And with a lot of help from Richie and Mel Larson, who I'm also indebted to, because I don't think the speedway would be here without Mel's influence on Richie. And so Richie said, we baked the cake, now we need Bruton's company to come in and put the icing on it. And I think it was simple, but it was in many ways right, because, you know, Richie had never run a speedway either. And Lord knows I hadn't, but I was smart enough to go and hire smart people like Motley, and the list goes on and on and on, and I could sit here and talk about the employees until I cried, because that's how strongly I feel about the people who've worked so hard here. But I hope that answered your question, Jerry.
Tom, right behind you.
Tom Zaleski, Iron County Today.
This comes from St. George. St. George is our number one RV destination. Now, while I'm working. But let me tell you something, we're going to go a lot farther than St. George once I don't have to be back on a certain day.
Good for you. Good for you. I have two thoughts.
Yes.
Is Missy a UNC alum like you?
No, unfortunately, Missy grew up in Tennessee, and she pulls for both Tennessee, and her father went to Alabama, and so we fuss and fight about SEC, ACC all the time.
Second thought. I remember, I don't know if it was on the phone in the presser or when it was live in person, but I remember when the second race date for this speedway for NASCAR was finalized, I was wondering how much it was a gamble in its own right. And now here we are 7 years into to a second race date. Has the gamble paid off?
Well, it has, and primarily because of two organizations. Number one, Michael Gaughan in the South Point, Ryan Growney, Sally Gaughan. As I said in an interview earlier, there's no greater friend of this speedway than Michael Gaughan and the people at the South Point. They've been so supportive, and when Missy and I got to town and we didn't know anybody, and somebody said, well, you really need to meet Mr. Gaughan. And we went to see him in his office back at the Orleans on Tropicana, and when he owned that. And he took us on a tour of his facility, and I'll never forget it. You would never have known that the owner, the president, the CEO of that property was the guy who was leading us around, because he, you know, Michael dresses like every man. And we're just so indebted to him. And also the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, which also was instrumental in helping us convince NASCAR, convince Bruton, convince a lot of different people that we needed to grow. And it's been great for this city, and this city's been great for this Speedway. So it's been a great marriage.
All right. I think we got a couple over here, and then we got one final question.
I got one more. I do have one more funny story that my Welcome to Las Vegas Minute from years ago. And Ron will be disappointed if I didn't tell it, but go ahead.
Kyle, and then do you have one? Kyle, right behind you. And then one right over here still. And then we have one more, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Hi, Chris. Kyle Foster, Napa Sports News. Congratulations.
Thank you, Kyle.
First of all, I've got two questions for you. You guys added the Kubota High Limit Series to this weekend. How much of that brought more fans to the track and at both events, do you think?
How much of it? What?
Like, what do you think that the impact? How do you think that impacted both series?
We kind of got two slogans for our Speedway. One is America's Racing Showplace, because it is one of the nicest facilities, and Vegas, you know, the history of showrooms here in Las Vegas, and I'll give Jeff Motley credit. He came up with that slogan for our Speedway. But the other one is that we are America's most diverse racing facility. So the fact that we can race, you know, dirt on Saturday night and be out here with NASCAR on Sunday afternoon, and in 2 weeks we'll have – is it 2 or 3 weeks NHRA?
Four weeks.
Get your tickets now, by the way, for the NHRA Nationals that are coming up. Tony Stewart will be here to race.
Antron was just in here.
And Antron was just in here, and we love our NHRA drag racing. So we're diverse, and it's just incredible the things that we can do. We once had a heavy equipment track rental. I think it was Caterpillar. They brought out – now, how many people could get excited about – heavy equipment. They had this giant basketball and a giant basketball goal, and they had Dick Vitale. They brought in Dick Vitale to do the commentary, and they had this big basketball, and the front end loader would pass to the backhoe. The backhoe would pass over to the grader, and before long, I mean, the crowd was cheering. Now, imagine that. Caterpillar's out there with all these fans. I mean, excuse me, all these customers are there, and people are cheering for a ball going through a hoop that was projected up by a front end loader or something. It's crazy. But we've done so many incredible things here with the World Long Drive Championship. When we put a platform up in the Earnhardt Terrace, they drove it down here into the grass, the golf ball, and the only victim was this media center where you can still see dents in the side of the media center when some of them were off target a little bit. But you know, we take a lot of pride in our diversity here, at least when it comes to different forms of motorsports and other events.
And then my second question is, you've been here for 26 years. I've been alive for 27 years. What are some things that stand out in the 26 years you've been here, like highlights of events?
For the most part, the day that Bruton called and said we got a second race, that was certainly a big one. I will think of something a lot better, but I'll be honest with you, the fans, the support from the race fans and the smiles on their faces at the end of a successful weekend. We always worry about weather, you know, we start looking at the weather 2.5 weeks out. And so when you got a nice, beautiful, sunshiny Las Vegas day, that's awfully, you know, when those Thunderbirds fly over at the end of the national anthem, there's nothing like it. And the anticipation that the 40 drivers are getting ready to put their lives on the line to put on a great show for the race fans. That's what makes it all worthwhile. Now, do I have time to tell my one story? I can tell this now because I'm on the way out.
I'm saying we have to be done in 8 minutes. And
okay.
We've got
take 8 minutes.
We have three more questions.
Okay. All right.
We have to take.
Let's do it.
You got a quick one here?
Yeah. Hey, Chris. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Dominic Dubois with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Just really quickly, you mentioned the highlights of your tenure here for 26 years at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I just wonder if for you if there's anything left on the table that you didn't do that you really wanted to do.
We didn't ever have a boat race. We talked about having a boat race out here, but the negotiations broke down somewhere in there, but we were going to do that. The Electric Daisy Carnival, you know, That would be another highlight. I can't think of anything that we didn't get done that we really tried to do. The EDC has been such a boon to this community's economic base. And so the fact that we were willing to take that risk is something I'm really proud of, because a lot of media people questioned us on that. They had been shoved out of Los Angeles when they had some terrible things happen over there. And a lot of people said, why do you want to have this? And we've set up you know, they transported hundreds of kids to the hospital when it was in L.A., and now we actually set up what is in effect a triage area where any kid that gets in trouble, we bring them in, and they don't have to be transported to the hospital. Now we transport maybe two or three a weekend, and they were doing hundreds over in L.A., and so that's been really satisfying to see that event. And I give Aaron Crowley, who's on our sales staff, a lot of credit, because he was the guy who made contact with Pasquale Rotella and got it over here, and we had the determination to make it right, and we were willing to take the risk, and it's been a good risk, because now for 15 years we've had it, and it'll be here another 15, I hope. Right, Patrick?
We have a couple of non-media questions.
Lisa Motley, Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority. Hello.
Yes.
One correction. We do have boat races here. They're waterless boat races during Night of Fire.
Oh, that's right. At the Bull Ring, we drag the broken down boats around.
And your better half here, Missy, can you talk a little bit about what you did for Speedway Children's Charities when you first came on board to Las Vegas? Obviously, our community is so much better off for everything you've done.
Thank you, Lisa. We moved here, and I didn't know anything about running the charity or what to do, and I had been to a bachelor auction, which was for another charity. So I thought, well, why don't we auction off drivers, because fans love to meet their favorite drivers. And I think that was our first event that we had, and we raised, they rode in the back of the truck during the parade lap, and you know, bid on their favorite driver and had an opportunity to meet them. And that was our first event. And then Paulette, who is with the charity now, took it over and has just done amazing, amazing things with Speedway Children's Charities. And I'll get emotional talking about that.
And the real question is, whose handicap is lower, Chris or Missy's?
Chris's.
Much
lower.
Much.
I was born a 30 handicap, and I'm going to die a 30 handicap.
All right, we have one final question, and then Chris is going to tell his story, and it's from Thatcher.
Oh, my goodness. This is my grandson.
So, Popsy, I have a question. So, you talk about you and the Speedway team being a family. What has being the head of our family taught you about being a track president, and what has being a track president informed you and taught you for our family?
Wow. That's like a three. Thank you so much, Thatcher, for that question. Well, y'all have taught me that.
So, happy retirement.
Thank you, Thatcher. Our family has taught me the importance of family. And so just to come home and see people like you and your brothers has meant the world to me over these years, and how important it is to do things the right way. And just like the right way that you play the piano, Thatcher, and I'm so proud of you. And so I don't want to get too deeply involved in the whole family, but they have made fun to come home to and to spend time with. And we're going to spend even more time now that Popsy's going to be retired. Oh, it's taught me a lot about the importance of family, and I treat our employees. I encourage us to be a family just like the families that we all have at home.
Okay.
So thank you, Thatcher.
And you said you have a story.
I just
want
to
tell
you a story. My welcome to Las Vegas minute. I'll try to shorten it a little bit.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. We had all kinds of excess charges from Metro Police when I got here the first year in 1999. And it was an incredible amount of money we spent for them to handle traffic control and to handle security on the property. It was like $375,000. And Humpy Wheeler, who y'all know, used to run Charlotte for a long, long time, he called me after that when he saw how much we had spent. And he said, you really need to go meet with the sheriff and tell him that we'll do some nice things for them at the Speedway. And in return, we'll get free traffic control and security on the property. And so he had a whole list of things, an office out here at the Speedway and this and that, and we were to picnic for the family and a Christmas party in December, and we were going to do it upright and make the sheriff's department look good. We're going to offer them free training on our property where they do that spin out maneuver. And so it was going to be a nice happy marriage, and we wouldn't spend any money with them, and they wouldn't spend any money with us. So I called I ended up with Under Sheriff Dick Wingett. I still remember his name, W-I-N-G-E-T. And he listened to my proposal, and he said, okay, all right, we'll get back to you. So About a month later, Bruton calls and said, did you ever hear back from the sheriff? And I said, no, they haven't called me back. So I went to Richie, who still had an office here, Richie Klein, and I said, Richie, the sheriff hadn't gotten back to us yet on this proposal I had. And he said, well, we'll get a meeting. So we get a meeting with Jerry Keller. Jerry Keller was the sheriff of Clark County at the time. And Jerry Keller is a big man, a massive man. Buford Pusser kind of guy. Think. So we set up this meeting, and it was going to be at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. We got there at quarter to 11. And at about 11:20, his secretary said, the sheriff will see you now. So we go in to see the sheriff, and we sit down in his office, shake hands with this baseball mitt. And I'm looking up at him like that. Nice to meet you, sir. Yes, sir. We sit down at this little tiny round table in his office. And there were three of us, Sheriff Keller, Jerry, Richie Klein, and me. And so Richie says, well, Sheriff, for the reason we wanted to meet with you, we got this idea, this proposal, and he immediately was interrupted by Sheriff Jerry Keller, K-E-L-L-E-R, because I'm still not happy with this guy. And he says, and Jerry Keller says, is this the young man? And he puts his big giant meat of a hand and a finger right about that far from my nose. Is this the young man that called my undersheriff and offered him a bribe? And I tried to swallow, but I could not swallow. And I said, sir, I know my voice was shaking. I said, I have not offered a bribe to anybody. I don't care, sir, he says to me. I don't know how they do it in Charlotte or Darlington or Bristol or wherever it is you're from, but we don't do business that way in Las Vegas. And if you don't believe me, I'll take you out of this meeting in handcuffs. So now all of a sudden, my head's spinning. I've just moved here and I'm trying to make a good impression. So the meeting gets over with. Now, Bruton wants to know what's going on, how'd the meeting get. And so I get back to my office, and Richie and I get on the speakerphone. We call Bruton. And Bruton said, how'd the meeting go? Well, not very good, Bruton. I said, he considered my offer to him to the Metro a bribe, and he threatened to take me out of the meeting in handcuffs. And there was a silence. And Bruton said, well, now you should have put your wrists up there just like this. He said, it'd been great publicity for the Speedway, and we need all the publicity we can get. So that's the way Bruton looked at things. Me, I didn't want to go to jail. But anyway, in closing, thank you to you as the media members. You make this sport go with the information that you put out to the race fan. And thank you so much. I am forever indebted and appreciate the support we've received from you in this room, and those who've preceded you, because there have been a lot of them, and we're so indebted. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.